What is going on, all you constellations out there in the multiverse? You are listening and viewing the Earth 16 Comics Wire podcast. I'm your host, Brian of Earth 16, and in this episode, I'm going to be speaking with Serena Sanchez on her upcoming comic, Black Rhapsody, a horror cult thriller comic about musical magic girls and a fight against a Lovecraftian pop star and her evil cult. Serena, welcome to the podcast. How you doing today or tonight?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
That's awesome. So we're going to get started with the comic Black Rhapsody. So can you tell me a little more about Black Rhapsody?
Yes, Black Rhapsody is a 35-page plus manga-esque horror cult thriller, as you said before, about musical magical girls named after mythological goddesses of war in a fight against what is essentially Lovecraftian Beyoncé. So Magical Girls versus Lovecraftian Beyoncé in bloody good fun. It takes the darkness of Madoka Magica, if you're familiar with that anime.
I saw that anime, actually. What's it called?
Pouella Magi Madoka Magica.
Oh, yeah. I think I did see that on your on the Indiegogo page. Okay. Cool. So now, that's probably going to lead me to my first question. Is just that I read the synopsis. I automatically thought about the impact that pop music has had on our culture, and you probably remember groups like Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, Shakira, Britney Spears, or Christina Aguilera and NSYNC, and you know the Backstreet Boys. What's the popularity of pop music, one of the influences behind creating the comic, in addition to the aforementioned Pouella Maggie Madoka Magica,
as well as Berserk. I forgot to mention that too.
Oh, Berserk, yeah, and the Gem the Holograms, that cartoon. I never heard of those actually, though, and I looked them up. I'm like, oh, okay, I can see that.
Okay, yeah.
So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, for the gem one, mainly from the comic, comic reboot of the series rather than the old 80s cartoon.
Oh, okay. The comic reboot of the series. I gotta look that up sometime. So, did you combine all those elements just to create this comic? And what was the process behind that?
The process for behind Black Rhapsody?
Mm-hmm.
When I first came up with it, I was coming up with the designs of the characters because originally I had wrote a really bad story during my youth. It was really edgy and all that. I didn't like it. So I took the characters and kind of repurposed the concept to be more in line with the Magical Girl genre. But with every Magical Girl series, like Sailor Moon, Tokyo Mew Mew, Magical Doring Moon, they all have a specific theme. Sailor Moon has the planetary. Tokyo Mew Mew has the environmentalist animal theme. I want my own personal theme that hasn't been tackled yet. So why not choose musicians and pop stars?
That's really interesting.
But for each of the girls, the main magical girl group that we're going to be following throughout the story, I didn't want to choose a generic pop idol look that so many different magical girl series have used, you know, like cutesy Japanese idols.
Yeah.
I didn't like that. Plus, I don't personally like idols culture in general, or just idols. I don't like idol music. So I decided to go with like a diverse theme for each of the girls, have them be based on different music genres from around the world.
Oh, interesting. It kind of it's funny. It kind of reminds me of Final Fantasy X-2. I don't know if you played the Final Fantasy games before.
I played 15, the one with the pretty boy band.
Oh, okay, yeah, because like Final Fantasy X-2 also had like a musical element to it. Because Final Fantasy X started out as a story about a young man who was a blitzball player. It's like basically water polo slash soccer slash hockey. Really interesting, and it's like in a sphere of water that they swim into, and they had to, of course, shoot the goal. But there is this, he meets this summoner by the name of Yuna, and They develop a bond, but then like it's kind of a sad ending because he finds out that he's actually an apparition or a dream, and like he kind of disappears. Spoiler alert. But in Final Fantasy X too, it centers around Yuna, and she becomes sort of like this. She goes from a summoner to becoming a singer, and she also has like this sphere that gives her that's like a. It has like a power of a singer in it that is kind of based on her, if that makes sense. And she uses her powers to basically, she uses her singing powers. And you can also play as the singing version of her in the game, which is really interesting. And
I think I saw that on the internet before.
You saw it?
Yeah, I saw pictures of her in the idol clothing that she wears.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it kind of reminds me of that. And also I think I did see some, like, it kind of also reminds me of Sailor Moon, which is like, you know, how they have their powers based on certain planets, like Sailor Moon, Sailor Jupiter, Sailor Mars.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of reminds me of that too.
Yeah. Well, for each of the girls, I'm going to have their, like, I tie in with a term, the twist on them is that they're named and based after certain deities. Well, the main character, Hecate, the girl that you see in the cover art,
mm-hmm.
the goth girl and her fairy side, which will be explained later in the story, she's based off the Greek goddess of witchcraft, necromancy, ghosts, and magic. And she can summon the dead using her song. But I had to, this is the thing, because of the nature of her powers and the nature of the deity itself, I had to be really careful with her because, as you know, necromancers are always depicted as evil for a good reason. But with Hecate, she can summon the victims of like serious crimes, let's say a murder victim. If she's afraid of the murderer of that victim, she can summon them to her and let that victim mete out their justice in whatever way they see fit. So she essentially fights for the dead. She doesn't use the dead for her own means.
That's interesting. Wow. So she's sort of like a summoner. And she's like a summoner that brings back the dead. Like, and then like, does she like interact with them? Does she like, is it like based on like trauma or anything like that, that she summons the dead, or is it just like her power?
It's just her power, because she was given the power of Nether, which is the energy that flows between the living world and the underworld. So her powers work in one or two ways. When she's singing to a crowd of people, especially those who have been touched by loss, she can temporarily reunite the loved ones with their lost lover or relative, only for the duration of her song, so that the spirits will have a moment of, let's say, closure, so they could pass on.
Oh, wow, that's okay. Yeah, I see that. Wow. And so I'm looking. I was just searching for the page, so I found it. The Black Rhapsody Part 1. Okay, so is she like so? Let's see. Okay, so it says that even music can have magic. That's, wow. I'm looking at the drawings here, too, on some of the preview drawings, and I do see, I think it looks like a drawing of the undead. Is that one of them?
No. If you're talking about the one with the bloody girls?
Yeah.
Those are the antagonists of the story.
Oh.
They're based off the Greek goddesses of vengeance, the Uranids, also mm-hmm. known as the Furies. So from left to right, you have Alceto, Megara, and Tisphone.
Wow. So, I mean, you actually, it seems like you also bring in elements of the Greek mythology into this comic. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's not just Greek mythology. I'm bringing different types of mythology.
Other mythology too.
So it's like any type of mythology I want to tackle, because Greek mythology is just like, for this part of the story, is thematically appropriate.
I mean, I'm a fan of any mythology. I mean, I you know, like, like, you know, aforementioned Greek, and also I'm trying to learn some Nigerian mythology because I'm part Nigerian. And yeah, there's just so much, you know, there's just so much out there, and, you know, all these amazing stories about, like, these amazing entities, or, you know, about regular people too that encountered these amazing entities. And, you know, I mean, these are stories that I feel are, like, untold, but, you know, if they're told in, like, you know, this medium and all that, I mean, I think, you know, yeah, those stories can be told, like, you know, like with your Black Rhapsody. I think it's, you're kind of honoring them, you know, and I think it's really cool, personally.
And yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And also for the fact that you're bringing elements from, like, Lovecraft. And now that I even think about it, I remember the show, and it's actually based on a book too, called Lovecraft Country. Have you seen that show on HBO?
No, I've heard about it, but it never interested me.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of crazy elements in that show too, and I didn't see the full season. I mean, I saw some episodes. The very first one was really trippy, and, you know, it's about this young man named Tick, or Atticus, Tick for short, and, you know, he's a huge nerd, and, like, he's, like, in the Korean War, and I think he's having a dream where he's fighting, he's an African-American fighting through the Korean War, then all of a sudden he just sees, like, all this stuff from, like, yeah,
aliens,
exactly, and he's just like, what the flip, and then he sees, like, this girl come up to him, this alien girl, and he's attracted to her. Then, like, Jackie Robinson comes out of nowhere, and this, you know, the Koluth squid monster comes to get Tick. But then Jackie Robinson comes, and he just looks at him and says, I got you, kid. And, you know, and then, like, he just takes the baseball bat and it's like, whack, you know, just, like, whacks the monster. And, man, that scene sent chills through my, you know, gave me some chills. I was just like, wow, that is an amazing scene. I mean, you should definitely watch the show. It's really cool.
Yeah, I'll give it a chance.
So, yeah, I mean, like, so tell me more about the hero, or the protagonist of this, of Black Rhapsody.
Her name is Alethea Mahalia. Are you familiar with the character Kaine from Nier Replicant, or the Nier series?
No, I never heard of that. I never heard of the character.
Okay, she kind of is this beautiful woman, but she is, like, the most foul-mouthed, violent chick that you ever met.
Hey, that's my favorite type of character.
You need to look up Kaine from Nier, and just look up the scene where her just holding the door back, and she just cursing up the storm.
How do you spell Kaine?
K-A-I-N-E.
And she's from Nier?
Yeah, Nier Replicant.
Oh, Nier Replicant. Okay. Oh, wow. Let's see. Looks like she carries what looks like to be a broadsword. Wow. Let's see. And what's the scene that you're talking about? Like, where she just, like,
holding down the door and she's cursing out the book. The entire story of Nier is crazy. I don't think I can explain it in this video.
Oh, right. Yeah, she looks like
Are you okay?
Fiona.
Is this blood? The fight's over.
And I think she's a video game character. Let's see. Maybe if I put funny moments. Okay, I see. Now. Ooh!
Yeah, that's basically Alethea. Just less violent.
Fuck off, book.
Fuck, this book is a real asshole!
She like curses not just people, but she seems like she curses everything. Like, objects.
Yes, she does.
You know?
She does. I played the game, she does.
And very carefully, extend my hand.
But I just can't help but fall in love with her.
And pull out your fucking heart! You're gonna die today, shithog! damn it, we need to stop it. Rot in hell, asshole.
Man, like, she has no filter.
She doesn't. That's why I love her. That's basically the main character, but less violent.
Okay, cool. So she has inspiration from that character. All right, cool. And
Yoko Matoi from Kill la Kill, if you know the anime.
Yoko Matoi. Wow, you can read a lot of good anime. Matoi. Ryoko. Okay, I'd like to see Ryoko Matoi. And what's the character's name?
Ryoko Matoi, Kill la Kill.
Oh, Ryoko, okay. Ah. Let's see here. Oh, wow, this one has no filter too. He just tells everyone to, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of might see a Seto Kaiba.
Yeah.
Or actually, my favorite one is Bakugo from My Hero Academia. He also has no filter and just is a loose cannon, you know.
I'm vaguely familiar with that character. I don't watch My Hero.
Oh, you don't? Oh, it's a great anime. And also another one too that I like is from Outlaw Star. I think her name is she's from the Cartel Empire. I forgot her name though, but she's like this feline like character, and she just like goes ballistic every time like, you know, stuff doesn't go her way. I mean, you can definitely relate to some of these characters.
Yeah. So to continue on with Alethea, now that you see Ryoko and Kaine, you kinda have a bit of a understanding to what you're gonna be dealing with. The main character, Alethea, literally does something so disrespectful to the, let's say, the Beyonce allegory character, which is the antagonist, Dulcie Bella. Mm-hmm. I probably showed pictures of her on my Twitter account if you've seen her. I could just DM them to you.
Oh, okay, yeah, you can do that too. I'm actually looking at your Twitter right now, and it looks like the cover art. Is that the character that they're based on Beyonce?
No, the cover, that's the
oh, that's a protagonist. Okay.
So, Alethea does something so disrespectful to the antagonist of the story that she now is in a fight for her life. I'm not going to say what it is, but it's pretty funny. If you've seen Kaine, then you could pretty much tell what she's going to end up doing.
So it's kind of like a little, I feel like it's kind of like Birds of Prey too, where Harley Quinn does something, you know, to like take Black Mask off, and everyone's just pretty much after her and all that.
Yeah. I just uploaded Dulcie Bella.
Oh, that's her.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me a little more about the Dulcie Bella.
Dulcie Bella is... I have to like think carefully because I don't want to spoil certain parts.
Right.
But she's basically an ancient god of darkness who basically came back, wants to be worshipped again by mortals. And she expects everyone to bow down to her because she's a god. She's not used to a mortal talking back to her like Althea. So let's say eagles ensue. People almost die, and you have yourself a magical girl on the run. Again, this is the only way I can say this without spoiling major points of the story.
Mm-hmm. And, like, let's see. So, the main plot right now is just that basically they're at war with this villainess who's probably like she's like a goddess or
she's an ancient god.
Wow. And so does she have like does the main character have like what's her name again? I'm so sorry, I keep forgetting.
Alethea.
Does she have like some allies along the way too, like, because I know, yes, you mentioned a couple of musicians
there could be like other magical girls that you're gonna see throughout the series. One of them, as you say that you was into Nigerian, you was into like Nigerian culture, you're part Nigerian. One of them is based off a Nigerian goddess of the forests and animals named Aja. Now, Aja is probably the least known of the Orishas from what I looked up about her, because there's not a lot of information on her. So she's a lesser known god. And she's based off of Afro Soul.
That's really cool.
Music genre Afro Soul. Yeah. The soul of the forest, as I like to call her.
The soul of the forest. I like that. That's really cool. And I'm actually looking at the drawings that you DM'd me. These look really amazing. Who drew these? Did you draw these?
No, that's on the book Jan Apple.
Jan Apple, okay, cool. And speaking of how you create this book, how'd you form the team to create the comic?
Like how I met Jen through, I believe, Art Station. This is after I had written the script for, I'm the writer of the story. And I don't have the artistic skills to bring it to life. So I had met Jen, I believe, through Art Station, and I got into contact with her, and she's very interested in doing this project with me.
Yeah, it looks like a really fun project. I mean, and especially like with how the use of music and the music to actually music, like how powerful it is, and like this, you know, instead of, you know, the usual weapons and all that. I mean, something unique as music is what I'm trying to say. That to me is really awesome. I like that.
Yeah, each of the girls' powers have a different effect to them. With the character I had mentioned, Aja, she can draw animals to her, kind of like a fairy tale princess, but she also can create a connection between people and nature. And use like that nature to kind of like to get people to interact with her. Without spoiling too much about her story, she deals with isolation and loneliness because she looks very masculine and she's been made fun of because of her very feminine voice. So the only friends that she had were animals, but she does crave like companionship from other people. So she uses her music as a way to draw people to her, similar to the goddess Aja, who, unlike other forest deities like Artemis, Cyrenos, who try to keep people out of the forest and away from nature, Aja bridges the gap between nature and people by using her song.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that's, wow. So, I mean, like, different abilities, so it's like, wow, I'm telling you, this almost reminds me of so many elements of Final Fantasy, so many elements of, like, I think even there's some elements of Yu-Gi-Oh! I feel, you know, a lot of it just reminds me of that, like, you know, especially with the, you know, thousand-year-old deities or deities from way back, you know, get reincarnated a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I like about it. And so they're going against this evil goddess, and along the way, without spoiling it, what would we expect from this comic?
Well, it is an 18-plus comic, so a lot of, like, violent scenes.
Mm-hmm.
As well as some like very risque dressed characters, because you're also going to have, like, on the villain side, they're also going to be like characters based off of certain celebrities that you might know. I got one in the works that's very clearly based off of Cardi B, because I can.
So it's kind of like NSFW, basically.
I would say NSFW, but close.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Foul language, because obviously the main character is, you know, who she is.
Right. And so we're going to expect a whole lot of, like, pushing the envelope. I mean, just a little bit, not, like, totally ripping the envelope, just a little nudge, if you will.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I see that. Cool. So, so right now the comic's coming out on you're advertising the comic on Indiegogo, and how are you gonna go about advertising it when it comes out? Like, are you gonna do it in tiers? Are you gonna, like, a Kickstarter kind of a thing?
I'm going to do it in tiers. I'm currently working on the campaign draft, so I'm going to have at least four or five tiers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
I also plan to, like, for my campaign, I plan to have some pinup art as well as a virgin cover of the virgin poster of the cover art as one of the tiers. I plan on offering an all everything together package tier, plus with the acrylic art, with acrylic standee offered.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so it's obviously going to come with some books and some pinup art and some acrylics. And are there any other t-shirts, or are they going to be like pins or anything like that?
April, that's what I mean. April, no, because mm-hmm. this is a new property and I don't want to offer too much, especially right. when people don't know me that well. I want to establish a certain trust with them before I start offering more.
That makes sense. But yeah, it's like a really cool concept, though. I mean, it's like a mixture of, like, basically it's a mixture of horror, and I think there's going to also be some comedy in it. I mean, judging by who the main character is and who she's based off of. And let's see. Yeah, I mean, these drawings are really awesome. And the fact that you put in, like, so many references from, like, again, like, these, I mean, I didn't even know about some of these, you know, mythologies that you've just mentioned. I'm like, wait, what? I mean, it's just, wow. That's really awesome. Yeah, I
did a lot of research for this book, not just on the goddesses themselves, but also on the music genre, because I'm not familiar with anything outside of hip-hop.
Yeah. Hello?
I'm still here.
Oh, sorry. I thought I lost you there for a second. So you've been researching
as in listening to certain genres. For example, the main character, Alethea/Hecate, is based off of Ethereal Wave. If you actually, it's a goth music genre, then when you listen to it, like, it's very hard for me to describe music, but when you listen to it, it sounds very ghostly, which is thematically appropriate for the goddess of ghosts, or the mother of ghosts, as she's called in Greek mythology.
So kind of ghostly, kind of like dark, you know, like gothic, almost like, not Victorian, but, you know, kind of like, what's the word I'm trying to look for? Grim? Not grim, no. Maybe? Macabre. Go ahead.
Macabre.
Oh, yes, right. Like, kind of like vampire, not... Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
Well, I mean, like, because, like, you know, when I think of that, I think, like, you know, Devil May Cry or Castlevania.
Yeah. A very darkly feel to it.
Yeah, that's a darkly, I was gonna, yeah, that's a better way to describe it. Yeah, that's really, you know, wow. I'm actually looking forward to this one, especially with the fact that, you know, there's gonna be a lot of musical references to it. I mean, you probably researched a lot of music. Tell me how you came about doing that. That must have been interesting, like, studying music.
Yeah, because I spent, this is when I was coming up with the characters and what genre to base them on.
Mm-hmm.
For the main character, I was kind of playing with either dark wave or ethereal wave mm-hmm. in the conceptualization process. I decided to choose ethereal wave because of how it sounds, and it matches the feel of the mythological goddess I based her on. There's another goddess by the name of Hikawa Hime, who is another obscure goddess. The only thing we know of her is that she married the great-grandson of Susan Noel, and eventually her descendants through her led to I'm gonna butcher this name. Onigashiri oh my god.
It sounds like a tongue twister, yeah.
Yeah, it's like Noshu. I'm sorry. She's based off of the Shinto god, Shinto mythology. So she's the daughter of the ice dragon Kura Okami, who is the dragon god of rain and ice, rain and snow. So for her, because of how obscure she is as a god, I decided to do a bit of a twist. Have her be based off of death metal.
But try to
do something different. Because for this guy, I plan on making her, well, for this character, I plan on making her like this, like, masculine, very tomboyish chick who hates anything feminine because of how she grew up and how people perceived her as being helpless. So she kind of discards anything related to femininity, even taking on a masculine name when she becomes a magical girl.
It looks like some of these characters are going to have to deal with some kind of like trauma. I feel like you mentioned the one who's like the goddess of the forest, like having to like, you know, find solace in friendship with animals when people would look down at her for like being masculine and then like having a feminine voice. And then you have this one who just doesn't really care. Like, she's just her own person. She's just like, you know, I am who I am.
So, yeah.
Wow.
There's also another goddess who I based off the Aztec goddess of fire, Canticle. The character that I based on, she's based off of religious music, so the character is basically a religious succubus, who, as you kind of know anything about succubus, they're very sexual creatures. So she had to kind of deal with that with her religion.
Wow.
Like, how can you stay pure even though that you're a creature of lust?
Kind of, yeah, it's really an oxymoron. I mean, now that I think about it, it kind of reminds me of, like, Nightcrawler from X-Men.
Yeah, Nightcrawler, oh my gosh, you hit the nail on the head. Nightcrawler was a huge inspiration for this character.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. Because he is truly a Christian man, despite his appearance. He's a man of God.
Yes. Yeah, and in fact, he's trying to, like, profess his faith, and yet, you know, despite his appearance and his abilities, you know, he's still a man of God, and he's, you know, very devout, and that's why one of the things I found really interesting about him, too, and, you know, just about the X-Men, too, in general, how, I mean, I feel like with the X-Men, I feel like it was a way to, like, teach diversity, you know, and to welcome it, and to, you know, help people learn that, you know, hey, it's okay to be different. You know, it's okay to have certain things about you. And so I think that's what makes the X-Men so unique, you know? And I feel like, you know, your characters, you know, like in this, in Black Rhapsody, might, you know, they kind of carry that too. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to, I feel like, you know, they kind of have that same vibe going for them, just like the X-Men did.
You're not wrong. They do have a similar vibe.
Yeah.
For Alethea, the main character is about learning to realizing that your actions have consequences, because her entire life in the story gets turned upside down when she does one stupid action. And now as the magical girl of the dead, she has to consider the impact her powers have on the dead and as well as the living.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, the power she has is power over the dead. And you can easily get corrupted by that if you're not careful.
Yes. Power can corrupt. That's one theme, yes. Yeah, I feel like it's sort of like, you know, she's, you know, in a sense, like, each of these characters are going to go through their own hero's journey. You know, and I like those kind of stories too, where, you know, you have a group of misfits, you know, people who are supposedly don't belong together in a sense, but then they actually turn out to work like a fine unit and become a force to be reckoned with, sort of like Vegeta and Goku in a sense, Or again, yeah. Going back to Final Fantasy, I mean, that's one of the things I love about the Final Fantasy stories and the games. It's just that you have these characters who, you know, on paper they look different, though. But then when you, over time, when you see them coming together, you know, you see their struggles and their triumphs and their losses. It's like, it's just a beautiful story. And you actually find out they have more in common than you think.
Mm-hmm.
And I love those kind of stories.
Yeah.
There are also supposed to be, like, numerous other magical, like, evil and good in the story. That kind of has some depth within the villains as well.
Oh, you said you see that in the villains as well?
Yeah, some depth within them. I can't get into it because that's spoiling. Because they're kind of, like, dark. What was that word you used? Like a dark opposites? Dark mirrors of the main characters is what I tend to some of the villains. The dark, some of them aren't girls, some of them are women, but let's just use a catch-all term, dark magical girls.
Right, dark magical girls.
And they're kind of based off of evil or Cthulhu-Lovecraftian goddesses, at least in a concept phase that I currently have with them.
Wow, cool. So, yeah, even with villains, too, I mean, I feel like there's a story with villains, too, and I think, you know, I mean, those are the best stories, too, in my opinion, you know, I mean, that, you know, everyone has a story and, like, has a struggle, and then you find out, oh, wow, I didn't know that about them. And some of those being, like, being told from the villain's point of view, I mean, those are ones I really enjoy, too. Like, one of the first movies I actually seen was with a buddy of mine. He actually passed away.
I'm sorry for that.
Yeah, it was called Maleficent. It was based on like the villainous queen from like the I think it was like from the
Sleeping Beauty. I've seen that
Sleeping Beauty movies. Yeah, and like it was played by Angelina Jolie, and I was really amazed with like how they portrayed her. I mean, of course, they started off at her as like, you know, all innocent, you know, trying to live her life, and she meets the prince, who eventually becomes the king, and then he just takes away, like, her ability to fly.
Her wings,
yeah. And then I was just like, wow. It's like, you know, then you start to understand, like, why she turned evil, and it's just like, oh, man. And, you know, and then how she actually had love for the king's daughter, because, you know, It shows who she truly is. She wasn't really, quote unquote, the villain. It was more like the king who was the villain. And you're like, ah.
Yeah, I don't. With the some of the dark magic girl, I don't know if I want to go with the sympathetic villain. I do prefer some of them to be like straight up evil sociopaths.
Right. I mean, there's that too. Like, I mean, Lex Luthor. I mean, obviously, for instance, like Lex Luthor is always going to be a sociopath, no matter what. I mean, it kind of reminds me of like the comic. I don't know if you read it though. It was called Luthor. It was about Lex Luthor, and everything was just from his point of view. And
I read that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, if you read it, I mean, it's just I don't want to spoil it though. But the ending just kind of makes you like you know it. It just, you know, I mean, when I read the ending, all I could say is just that I was, like, completely wild. I was like, dang. You know, and yeah, because, like, Lex Luthor, he saw, you know, with someone like Lex Luthor, he sees himself as the epitome of, like, humanity, you know, humanity's potential, I feel. Whereas, you know, he sees Superman as a threat to humanity, but, you know, obviously Superman's no threat to humanity unless if you play the Injustice game or... But then there's that. But then for the most part, though, it's like, you know, in the mainstream, no. And, you know, Lex Luthor, you know, you can tell that he's jealous of Superman. This once, you know, he thinks that if he had Superman's powers, you know, obviously he would actually mold the world in his own image. And I think we see that with a villain like General Zod, for instance, you know. General Zod, to me, is basically, like, what Lex Luthor would be like if he had Superman's powers.
I mean,
So I mean, just, you know, this, you know, stuff like that, you know, in terms of like stories about villains, you know. But like you said, like most in the long run, most villains are going to be, you know, evil. I mean, that's why they're called villains. But then also you have other stories like the anti-heroes. I mean, do you have any anti-heroes in Black Rhapsody?
Yes, but I'm not gonna say who they are, because that'll be a spoiler.
Oh, spoiler! Yeah, that's right. I'm kind of like going River Song spoilers, and you know, I don't know if you watch Doctor Who, but
I don't. I can never get into Doctor Who.
Oh, it's such a great show. You should definitely watch it.
I don't know where to start.
Oh, I mean, like, I think with Doctor Who, I mean, where I started was like the 10th Doctor. That's where I kind of started. I mean, and once you get into it, like, you know, some stuff start, you know, comes along, and you know, I think with Doctor Who, he kind of, you know, it kind of explores a little bit of mythology too, and especially some of the comics too, which I think is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So wow, I mean, yeah, go ahead.
No, you can continue.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it sounds like you put a lot of research into this. I mean, I'm completely wowed. And when does this comic come out?
I plan on watching April 29th.
April 29th, so about a month from now. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm definitely gonna get me a copy.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're gonna wrap things up with the podcast. Is there anything else you wanted to add or any final thoughts?
I currently have a fan art contest for Black Rhapsody running. The deadline for the contest is April 21st.
Mm-hmm.
The details of the contest is listed in my pinned tweet at Magic Gal Media. So click on the pinned tweet and scroll down and you'll see more information about the art contest. The theme of the contest is dark parodies of music albums and concept posters. Sorry,
that's all good.
And it has to correlate to the character's genre. Meaning that if you have a character that's based off of hip hop, you can't give them a art piece that's based off, let's say, Kiss or Guns N' Roses, because those are two incompatible genres. So it has to correlate to the character that's based on that genre's genre.
That's cool.
And to enter is on my pinned tweet. You can, if you're interested, you can contact me at my Gmail, magicalmedia@gmail.com.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the Earth 16 Comics Wire podcast. So look it up on indiegogo.com for Black Rhapsody Part 1. It's going to come out on April the 29th. And and also be sure to, if you want to get any updates, check out Serena's Twitter page at Magic Owl Media, where you'll see all the stuff. And of course, if you want any more updates on my podcast, you can go to my podcast at Earth16 Podcast, or my personal Twitter account at Brian at Earth16. And thank you so much all for listening. This is Brian of Earth16, and this is Serena Sanchez of Magical Media signing out.
Bye.
Bye.